All right, without further ado, why don't we welcome Pastor Craig.
Thank you. Thank you, legend, Pastor Kerry. And good morning, church. How are we doing? Good. Love the enthusiasm. Will you pray with me, for me, for this morning's message? Lord, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're always at work. And Lord, this morning, I ask, Lord, that you would speak to us in a new, in a fresh way. Father, that you'd stir up our heart's desire for you. And Father, that we would leave this place changed, authentically changed. So Father, have your way this morning. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, church, good morning. This morning, we're continuing our build-up to Advance Sunday with part two of Prepare to Advance. And it's entitled, You Make All Things New. Okay, and it's going to pay close attention to the themes of faith, confidence, and belief. And for those of you that were here last week for part one, last week we reviewed Psalm 46:10 to start the series, and it says, be still and know that I am God. And we learn the importance of acknowledging that there are two parts to this verse. Part one, being still. Part two, getting to know God. And we looked at ways that we might be able to apply that verse into our lives in the year ahead. We used the context of it's no use doing part one without doing part two. It's no use just being still if we're not interested in acknowledging and getting to know our God. I ask you, you don't have to show me your hands or respond out loud, but I ask you, did anyone take time out over the course of the last week to do just that? Because that's the reality of what we were talking about last week. We made some declarations at the end of last week's service that we would be still, take time, be disciplined, and get to know our God. I wonder if you did that in the week just gone. And if you didn't, you know what? There's a whole new week ahead to attempt to do so. And God wants you to do it. God desires you to do it. God will help you if it is your desire. This morning, we're going to continue in that same vein of preparation. Preparation for advancement with the Lord. You see, I said it last week and I'll say it again. In order to advance with Jesus, we must be willing to take responsibility to press in and develop our relationship with him. Pastor Kerry's already alluded to that fact. If you just want to sit in your seat and expect it all to come, well, you might leave this place disappointed. It's a simple case of sowing and reaping. And again, just to avoid any potential confusion, I'm not talking to you about earning God's favor. You see, his love is relentless towards us. But this is a case of using our own free will to engage and receive the transformation power of Christ. So let's start around the theme of being made new through Christ this morning. We see this concept in a variety of places in the Bible and in a completely different number of contexts. And I want to share three of those with you. Example one is from 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And this verse speaks about our salvation in Christ, being created anew by God, having died to our old ways and being created through the will of God. So all of us that have received Jesus as Lord and Savior have in fact been created anew. Not just cleaned up. Not just a new chapter in an old book. Not a fresh lick of paint in an old room. But completely, from nothing, created afresh, newly, by the will of God. And if you want to be made new by giving your life to Jesus this morning, please, please come and see Pastor Kerry or myself after the service. We'd love to take you through that scenario, which is a beautiful free gift. So for those of us that are in Christ, we are new creations. Then example two, we hear of God's desire to do new things. Just like in Isaiah 43:19, you see, it says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Again, this is not of our doing, but of God's will. In fact, I just want to add the context into this verse. You see, it's a prophetic message from God. And in fact, God says in the verse prior, in verse 18, he says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." You see, he's referring to his intervention of leading the Israelites through the Red Sea and away to safety from the Egyptians. So as I've said before, God doesn't want his people to think they know it all or can fathom his capabilities or power. You see, the Israelites, in this example, they thought they had seen God do something that couldn't be topped when he parted the sea and led them to safety. But here in Isaiah, we hear God himself say, "Forget about that. Check out what I'm about to do. There is something even more significant ahead of you." He said this to a huge group of people that had seen him part the sea. An incredible miracle, church. I don't really think we who were not there can truly fathom a God that would say, "Hey, you know what? I blew your mind. And you still talk about it. But you know what? Forget it. It's nothing. I got something more. I got something new. And it's gonna just spin you out to an even greater extent." And my third example is a promise from the book of Revelation about the end of the age and God's promise of a new heaven and a new earth. And the thought that God will one day dwell amongst us without any sense of earthly separation is so reassuring, this verse. So I'm going to read from chapter 21, verse 3 onwards. And I'm in the ESV for this one. It says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. And they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Be assured, church, be assured. These words are trustworthy and true. God has an incredible plan for the end of time. So as you can see, this concept of all things being made new is an idea that is reinforced throughout Scripture in multiple contexts. It's a theme that we need to pay attention to in order to avoid the complacency of thinking that we know all there is to know, or believing that there is nothing left unknown to us, or thinking that God has done all the transformation work that he needs to do in each of us. For we have just read in Revelation that there is more to come. God is always at work and always desiring that we would know him more and more. You see, it is his desire to make all things new. From you or I, to those Israelites who have gone before us, to what is ahead when he will dwell with man. So as we prepare to advance in our walk with God over the course of this year, I wonder how faithful our posture is towards God, who wants to make us and all things new. He desires our transformation. He desires our relationship. And he desires us to seek him. I wonder how willing we are to believe that he might want to do a new thing in us this year. Are we willing to submit ourselves freely over to him and his great power? You see, church, I ask you this with all sincerity this morning. Do you believe that God would want to create something new within you this year? Do you believe? You see, I understand what the right answer to this question is, but I'm not asking you to consult your textbook. I'm asking you to consider the authenticity of your heart response, because that is the only place that matters. You can nod, you can say, yeah, I believe it, Craig. In the midst of 250 people, we can all cheer and holler and say yes together. We can do that, we can show face. But God is so much more interested in our heart response this morning. And that's the reason for my question, do you believe? I'm asking you to consider the things that you might have given up on, or the things that you might not have handed over to God. I'm asking you about the things that you've fervently prayed for that maybe haven't come to pass yet. I'm asking you about the deep desires that are deep within you that would bring great joy to your heart if they came to pass. I'm asking you about the miracle you once had the faith for, but maybe through disappointment or the distance of time, you've given up on. I'm asking you if you believe that Jesus could interrupt the status quo and make a way in your life beyond your own understanding. Church, do you believe? You see, I'm asking this question as a direct inquiry of our faith posture this morning. Where is our faith at? Do we have the faith to believe this morning? You see, in John 11:40, prior to raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" You see, it was a direct response to the disbelief that Christ could make any difference to Lazarus's plight. He was dead. And I wonder how many of us, just like those around the dead man in John 11, need a dose of faith to believe for what may lay ahead. You see, we can theorize our faith, but it's not until it's tested do we gain a greater glimpse of its authenticity. You see, when I think of faith and belief in everyday life, I think of IEEE802.11X. I think of IEEE802.11X. You see, now maybe I got your attention because I'm hoping you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And to be honest, until I Googled this up, I wouldn't have been able to recite this to you. For those of you that are unfamiliar with this phenomenon, we mostly, and forgive me all you tech heads in the house, we mostly refer to it as Wi-Fi. And for those of you that are unfamiliar with this term, it's basically wireless internet connectivity. Okay. And for those of you that are still like, what are you talking about? Okay, so let me help you. Think about the old landline telephone system. Yo, I appreciate that. Thank you. One response. Okay, should we just talk about telephones rather than Wi-Fi? I don't know. Okay. You see, like, many of us would use IEEE802.11X daily in our workplaces, on our phones, on our tablets, or on our TVs. You can't see it. You can't hear it. But when you know Wi-Fi is available, oh, you have a confidence and a belief that it's going to work. You see, it connects us to our networks regardless of geographic distance. And it can send incredible amounts of data to and from A to B at incredible speed. You see, when I think of IEEE802.11X, I think that's true belief. That's true faith. You see, we're confident to use it and we trust it to help us connect as necessary. I wonder if we're as quick to connect to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, with the same or higher levels of belief or confidence. I just encourage you, have a think about that. Because for me, I can't fathom that I might have more faith daily in my Wi-Fi connection than I would in my Lord and Savior. You see, surely it's time to rethink where our faith is at. So how can we develop a greater faith? The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." So we know that our understanding of the Bible and the message of Jesus will increase our faith. I hope you can see, those of you that were here last week, the application points for us are starting to merge back into last week's message. Read the Bible. Hear the word. Understand the message and the character of Jesus. And as our Bible reading and understanding of the message of Jesus increases, our confidence will as well. As it says in Ephesians 3, 12, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. The book of Hebrews then takes us full circle back to how we were describing, or how I was describing, our relationship, my relationship with Wi-Fi. In chapter 11, 1, it says, it's speaking of faith in action. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 in particular, it continues further and there is a warning just a couple of verses further down. In Hebrews 11, 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So, church, can you believe that Jesus makes, he wants to make something new in your life this year? Will you be committed to being transformed by him this year? Are you ready to increase your faith and advance in your walk with Jesus? You see, just like last week, I have to let you know that if the answer is yes to any of these questions that I've just pitched, it will ultimately boil down to your desire and discipline to make new habits and be willing to allow him to change the way we think and respond to him. You see, the last 2 weeks of my message have come through a bizarre set of events in my life. See, I've been living in my house, I think, for maybe 8-9 years now. And for all that time, I've been blessed because I have a roof over my head. And I looked up just recently, maybe about a month or two ago, and I thought, this roof, man, it looks in a real bad state. And so, over the course of the last few weeks, I've been spending some time on my roof, dealing with some dirty roof tiles. You see, they had become dirty over the course of the 30 years or so that the house had been built. And they, over that 30 years, had started to look less than they should. They were pretty ugly. And things had started to grow on these tiles. Mold and external factors had changed the color of these red tiles. In fact, I would go as far as saying external factors had brought shame on them. No one would tell me how nice my roof was. Still no one tells me that, to be fair. But, and it just gave me a picture of how the enemy wants to eat away at us over time. You see, mold and rain and dust and wind and other external things had hit these tiles. and made them less than they were meant to be. The years and years of external factors had crept up. But you know what? I got my high pressure hose out onto this roof, right? And as a man that just does not like heights, I just look, if you want to increase your prayer life and you're scared of heights, just get up on the roof, man. You'll be praying like serious, like relentless prayers. I got up on my roof, like holding on for dear life, and I'm hitting these tiles with this high pressure hose. And I hit the first tile, and man, it's just a deep joy comes into my heart, because I'm like, I didn't even know these tiles were this color. The dirt is being washed away. They're being restored. They look brand new. And I got all the way across the roof, and I stood there, kind of shaking still a little bit. And I thought, wow, this looks brand new. A high pressure hose can do wonderful, wonderful things. But it made me think that when we're under the pressure of a higher, greater power, just like these tiles were, we can be transformed too. You see, there is a caveat to this. Unlike the tiles that had no choice, I was going to get them. I was going to get them. For us, God is incredibly gentle. For us, God has given us free will. So for us, unless we are willing to come under a higher, greater power, He will not force transformation upon us. Church, this is where we have to humble ourselves. Church, this is where our discipline comes in. I'm sorry, it is a discipline scenario. This is when the authenticity of our faith, do we actually believe? This is where the rubber hits the road for us. Are we willing to humble ourselves, to stand below a higher power, His name is Jesus, and be transformed by relationship with Him? You see, unlike this high pressure hose that just beat it down on the tiles, Jesus is full of compassion. He's full of gentleness. He's full of love for us. Doesn't mean He won't deal in the hard places, but we have to be willing to allow Him to do so. And can I have the worship team back, please? Church, I've dealt with this very quickly and in a very linear fashion yet again this week. Just increase your faith. Just believe more. That's all you got to do. Just get on with it. I spoke about that linear way of looking at be still and know that I am God. I cannot prescribe to you how you go about this. I cannot give you 3 tips to make it all happen for you. This has to come from the desire of each of our hearts. I'm asking you, as one of your pastors, to be vulnerable before the Lord. I've already said to you, think about those deepest, darkest things. Think about the things that you've given up on. Think about the things that you maybe still fervently praying for, but man, it just hasn't come to pass, and I don't know where my belief is at. It's those things that I believe he wants to touch this year at Hillside. It's a kind of scary thing for me to say, to ask you to enter into the most vulnerable places in your lives and trust him with it. But I have to tell you, I know that he will not leave you disappointed. I know it. I know it. I know it. As we close this morning, I want to let you know that I'm just excited for you, church, to see you potentially go from strength to strength this year. You know, my prayer for you is that by God's grace, you're able to draw closer to him. Not just able, but you desire to draw closer to him, to be encouraged by him, to be enthused by him, to be ignited like never before. You know, Pastor Kerry mentioned a similar theme. Don't just sit in your seat. Don't just be in the room. You can be in this room and have no desire. Don't be a spectator. Desire to be part of what God is doing. You see, church, he's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He is light in the darkness. He wants to touch every heart. He wants to heal. He wants to turn lives around. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, he is working. He wants to mend all that is broken. And he would want so dearly, so desperately to advance with us this year. So church, are you ready? Are you ready? Would you believe? Would you have the faith to believe? Would you have confidence greater than Wi-Fi for what God wants to do for Hillside, but for you this year? He makes all things new. Church, why don't we stand and let's sing.